How do I explain it? I think he's about who he was going to be. Like, did he have skills, a skill set, and maybe measurables that would, you know, you would want him to be more than that? Sure. But I think we got about what Andrew Wiggins was probably supposed
really?
To be. I don't feel like he left anything on the table.
Hmm. Okay.
It's always tough, though. Cause
I
like,
might fight that one a little bit.
Well, because you look at the measurables, right? Like, this guy can jump out the gym, he can do all this or whatever, but like, sometimes there's a little bit more to it than that. You know what I mean? More unspoken things or just his approach to the game. And I don't know. I feel like Wiggins would work on his game, would get better. And I feel like he might have maxed out a little earlier. Like, I don't think he left anything on the table.
Okay.
But it's just my outlook on it.
Can I give you another one that I don't think you're going to like this one. I thought I had a bar with Andrew Wiggins and you just hit the tombstone on it. So I'm going to throw another pitch out there. Lamar Odom.
He didn't maximize who
so you what he could be. You are way better at this than I am. Mm-hmm. Lamar Odom was supposed to go to UNLV. But something happened. And he went to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Comes out after it's his first year, but it's his second year removed from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not UNLV. Maybe it's something else. I feel like it's UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
But it does the Rhode Island thing. And he was another one where he gets in the league. He's with the Clippers, and it's like, whoa, man, this brother could be it. Like, yeah. He was already very highly talked about, and it just never hit. It never computed. Like, he was, again, he wasn't a scrub. Like, he wasn't right. bad. Like, and I know there are some punchlines with him later in his life, and people poke fun at some of his addictions. Some of his addictions seem to be doing better now. Maybe not all of them, but some of them seem to be doing better now. Maybe the most dangerous ones. But from a basketball player perspective, you were always kind of waiting. Even the championship years with the Lakers, you're waiting. It never happened.
Mm.
It was like, oh, he's good. He's good, but he was supposed to be great, or he was talked about like he was going to be great. And yeah, I don't
absolutely.
Feel like he ever was.
Absolutely, no. That is a good one, Lamar. I know people who were close to Lamar Odom, and they always tell you like, yeah, he didn't apply himself the way he could have. He never did. He always did really just enough to get by, and if he would have applied himself, he had a natural feel for the game. A natural understanding of the game, where if you would have matched up, the physical elements to his game and who he was as a basketball player with that mental stuff, sky was the limit for him. And he just never really found that balance. He got a little bit more serious about the game here and there, but never to the depths of, like you said, Kobe or Steph or something like that. And, you know, it seems like he was one of those guys that, you know, made a lot of money. He was on winning teams. He was a big part of those winning teams, even though he wasn't the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good enough for him. And, yeah, he left some stuff on the table for sure.
That's tough.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think, like, Zion falls into this conversation. Zion is just, maybe the argument is he's leaving stuff on the table because he can't stay healthy. He's not taking enough steps to be healthy. That could wind up being, I hope not, a conversation about Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been the talk of the last 3 weeks. Joel Embiid today ruled out for the year. His weight and his conditioning is going to be a big subject of conversation from today until October.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a massive, massive part of the conversation. And you talk about, like, extra steps. Joe, Zion, those guys might need to take extra steps, not even to be great, but to actually play.
Mm-hmm.
They step on the floor. You outlined this with Zion Williamson earlier. He steps on the floor. He's great.
Yeah.
He just doesn't step on the floor enough.
You know, the biggest example of this, or one of the biggest examples of this, may be Ben Simmons.
Mm.
Ben Simmons. I always would get frustrated with Ben Simmons because not him not being able to shoot said this before on the show, but him not being able to shoot is just, I don't understand it. You've been a prodigy probably since you were 11, 12, 13 years old, which means you get all the trainers that you want. You can get to any gym, get into any gym that you want to since you were 11 years old. What have you been doing for 15 years? What have you been doing in the gym where you can't shoot now? And I was saying this when he was 25 years old. So what have you been doing for 13 years where you still can't shoot at an accurate clip? I would respectfully ask him, like, well, what's your workout look like? Like, how can you not shoot? And I'm not even saying like Steph. Like, how can people leave you alone 15 feet away from the basket? What have you been doing all these years in the gym? And he's one of those guys, and you've been around people like this in professional sports, and you understand. Ben Simmons might have been cool. He did just enough to make sure he could be a professional. He can get paid handsomely, have that experience. And he's fine with his life. Like, he's good. And there's people who are like that where the public and people around them maybe want it more than they want it. And that's just, I don't look at that as a good or bad thing. It's just, that's the way some people go about it.
I'll give you one. Shout out Duke for
beating
North Carolina yesterday.
Yeah, shout out to that. Regina Richardson went crazy.
Duke, yeah, she did. Thank God. I did get a smile with the glasses emoji. I did get that one.
Well, was that unwarranted, or did you like, hey, good game, and then that was simple?
No, it was a reply. It was a reply.
He wasn't gonna say nothing.
I wasn't gonna get a phone call. I wasn't gonna get anything. But I got the
I got
the cool emoji back. So they were feeling good. The Duke crazies yesterday, but. You know, talking about former Sacramento Monarch Kings analyst Kara Lawson, everyone to the, what's the line, to the man, every single one, her high school coach, her closest high school friends, her best friend, everyone said the same thing. Her sister was better. Her younger sister, who's a little bit taller, was better. She didn't have the drive Kara did. Kara had all of the drive. Kara would wake up at 5 a.m., be at practice. She would work out with her dad. She would do her dad would have her working out. She went to the Clinton school, Sidwell, the private school in D.C. Coach was ass. Nope. Well, we're taking you to some spot in Virginia because coach out there is better. Lived in an apartment so she could go to school there. And that's the commitment she had. Mary had all of the physical skill. She had everything but a fraction of the work ethic. And once she, you know, that work ethic took a toll on her body, wound up going to college, but tore both ACLs, never, you know, really did anything with basketball after Eastern Michigan. But every single one, she should have seen Mary. She was just naturally talented. Kara worked to be great. Mary was just great. She just didn't want to be. And there are a lot of players who are great on a level times 10 to that. And that's what they do. They just go play basketball. That's what they, oh, you got to love the game. No, they don't. They play the game. They're good at it. The WNBA players at the time Kara played, a lot of them were just like, look, man, it helps me live a lifestyle. I'm tall. The hell else am I going to do? I'm 6'4". I'm a 6'4 black woman. I'm going to play basketball. And that's what a lot of them were. Like, it wasn't this diehard love for the game.
See the country, see the world, like, for free, damn near, or some get paid to
them,
do that.
Yeah, them girls, some of them girls would play for, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 in Turkey or Istanbul or whatever. After making $50,000, you know, here, you know, for Phoenix or Sacramento or Houston, whoever. But that conversation that fans have so often about, oh, the love of the game. It doesn't exist the way that you think it does. I think a lot of players do love basketball and they love the work and they love, but I think there's a lot more that are like, nah, this is my job.
You know who is coming to mind right now, and it's it might not fit or it might not register because this guy is fantastic, is Luka. Luka is unbelievable offense. And I can imagine, let's just say Michael Finley. I'm not even going to say Nico Harrison. Michael Finley, Luka, do you know how good you could be? Do you know what you could be? Like, yeah, you're great right now. You're tracking to be an all-timer. You've done things that people haven't done in this league. You're already great. But do you know how good you could be if you would just do this, or if you would just take this aspect a little bit more seriously? And it's hard to tell a guy like Luka, hey, do you know how good you could be if you would just do this? Because he'd be like, I'm already great. I'm already great. Mm-hmm. Like, no, but do you, like, you don't, I don't think you get it.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to have that conversation with a Luka, because he's amazing. But it's like, man, like, yeah, I don't, and that's probably the difficulty in trying to get through to him. Because how are you going to tell Luka you need to do this to reach another level when he's already done this? He don't see it. He's like, I just play. I just go out there and play, and I kill every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, nah, there's a little more to it if you want to be like this. I just, as we're having this conversation, I thought about those guys probably having those same conversations with Luka and maybe it not registering because he achieved so much already.
Yeah, and that could be the because everything that we've read in the endless articles that have come out since that trade are, he was stunned. Like, he was shocked by this. He was shocked by getting traded. There are very few, maybe two, untradeable players in the entire league. And it's only two now because one of them has been traded. So it was three before, but it's LeBron, Steph, and I would have argued it was Luka. Well, now it's LeBron and Steph. They're the untradeable, like, you don't secretly trade those players. But maybe this is the moment where, if you're right and all those conversations have been had, maybe this is the moment that they're heard, because he got shook. And now you're entering, I'm going to assume you're entering, if not the final year of the King, certainly very, very close to the final year. And now the weight of potentially winning LeBron James another championship falls on your shoulders. Not just LeBron James championship, but yours. Because AI had you winning six of them things with Sacramento, including, I think, two by now.
Yeah. And you're behind schedule.
You don't have any.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have any championships. Strangely enough, you don't have any MVPs either.
Yeah.
And, nah, it'll be that's a good one. The Luka one is a good one. We'll come back. We'll talk with Eddie Gonzalez about a variety of things, about Steph, about LeBron, about these players to reach their potential. Well, ask Eddie if a player today could make a move like Kevin Durant did to the Warriors that overshadows their legacy. Because I'll be honest, you and I talked about this last night. I couldn't think of one. I legit couldn't think of one. We'll talk to Eddie Gonzalez next here on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Now, that's funny. Eddie says, like, when we get started, Eddie Gonzalez with us, you don't really just say hi to your boy. You just got to diss him first. Like, you got to get off some jokes.
Oh, look at this dude. Oh, all right.
You got to get off some jokes about him before you can start a conversation.
Oh, big time. You got that money. Oh, you famous, huh? Yeah, no, oh, okay. Yeah.
No, it's not even you look nice. It's, oh, so that's what we're doing today.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Right,
all right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you really went there. Oh,
no, okay. which was funny about that, though, other men will translate as that as like, oh, I look good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, it's all, we get it.
Yeah.
The most heartfelt, like, oh, he's, I'm killing it, right?
That's like the women's equivalent. Oh, look at this bitch. Like, look at this bitch in here.
Yeah. Maybe lying, though.
Oh, for sure.
Recently, like, women have the worst taste in women. And I put in parentheses because they lie.
Mm-hmm. That's facts. Eddie said right before the.
Move on, though.
Eddie said right before the commercial ended, "Whoo, y'all got to be happy out there. The Suns are just handing you this thing." Hey, what was the number? Is it 7 of 8? Oh, they losers of 7 of 8, 3 in a row, bruh.
Losers of 10 of their last 12.
Man, oh my gosh. Wow.
No wow. Brad Beal tonight. No Grayson Allen tonight. Luckily for them, they'll be playing the Pelicans, who probably won't have Zion Williamson, won't have CJ McCollum. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily spell a win these days, apparently. So it's, you get a report today, the coach and the star of the team, the face of the team for over a decade now, they butt heads over communicating, or what, you know, whatever angle you want to take with that. But it's this is the noise that surrounds a team that's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just be frank. If everything was going great, we wouldn't hear about this, and they would still probably be having meetings and having conversations. But this is not the noise that would surround that. And I told you guys last week, and I kind of been warning my streaming group on Playback. They play 4 games on national TV next week.
Mm-hmm.
4 games against 4 teams that are better than them, and including one that's the Sunday morning premier game.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of noise surrounding this team over the last week. And I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, because you guys got a lot going on up there, and ideally a playoff spot to worry about and things of that nature. But there's quietly become just a little bit more hints of, well, what about Booker?
Mm.
What if they trade Booker? Like, why would they keep Booker? What, can't they just get more? And it's just slowly parceling its way out. And I don't think that's a coincidence. That's just me from where I stand. That y'all both know it's dependent on the source and all that and all that good nature. But, you know, when Damian Barlin goes on the radio and he tells us some stuff that he might have heard, might have thought about, a lot of times there's smoke. Yeah. And when there's smoke, there's fire. And I think this might be one of those situations.
Mm. This is crazy to see, man, because you had a roster that was a championship worthy. No, probably not. But, you know, it was dangerous. It was a team that you felt, you know, they get in the playoffs and, you know, they build on, you know, maybe not knowing each other as well last year. This in the second year, all right, they're going to kind of cook a little bit. And it's been the exact opposite. And the thing that I keep going back to that they're not going to do. I just can't wrap my head around the fact that they might do this. Could they possibly fire Coach Bud and have four real coaches? Because people say that, and sometimes it's like, oh, he got fired in the middle of the season. The interim, they're counting. No, these are four coaches that you paid and said, it's going to take us and lead this team. Can they have four coaches in 4 seasons? That would be crazy.
Mm.
The answer to the question is yes. And it's tough to stomach, tough to understand. And then for me, the thing from my vantage point is, what does that even solve? Like, what does that even fix? If you fire Bud right now and you install David Fizdale, who, yes, obviously has some coaching experience, who long-standing reputation of players just mostly liking him for whatever reason. Smart guy, good dude, not the greatest success as a coach, and this is a lost season. Like, so what does hiring a new coach do for you, other than, I guess, maybe make your day-to-day a little better? But I don't know how much you've seen of these guys last night, Kevin and Book and everybody who spoke last night. Yeah, this isn't fun right now, nor should it be. They're losing, and they addressed a ton of stuff head on, and now you have these reports coming out today that I'm reading one right now that's getting texted to me. They all hate each other, and it begins and ends with KD, which I think is kind of funny. And then there's another one that says, Mike Budenholzer is miserable to deal with. So I guess, like, in some sense, the day-to-day morale gets better. But, okay, you fire him, you still have to pay him. For those who don't understand how coaching contracts work, they're guaranteed. So a lot of times there's language in there that says, hey, if you get another job, well, you're still on this. Obviously, then if it's less, we pay the difference. Like, there's a lot to it. But anyway, you're getting your money. So they paid him. They signed him for 5 years, $50 million. So They just fired another coach that they signed up for a similar deal. So now you're paying two coaches $10 million a year that aren't coaching your team. I know this. It's not my money. And I know Matt Ishbia is a billionaire and everything else. I just wouldn't want to be doing that. So I don't know what it solves. And honestly, it just creates more noise and more problems. But if it's so complicated and difficult there on a day-to-day basis and morale is so bad you have to, sure, I guess. I've heard the murmurs and whispers as well. I just don't know if it makes sense or if it happens.
We were talking about underrated players earlier this week, and I made the argument or attempted to make the argument. I think Kyrie Irving's the most underrated player in the league. I don't think Kyrie gets the respect that he deserves. Like, I think Kyrie is just exceptional. Like, he is extremely special. And as the conversation evolved, I think Kevin Durant is one of those guys, too. Like Kevin Durant is arguably one of the greatest players of all time, but I'd still make an argument he's underrated. And I wonder if, like, one, would you even remotely agree with that? And two, well, I'll start with that. Would you even remotely agree with that?
You're talking to the guy who called LeBron the most underrated player for a few years. Just of like the feeling of the general understanding of everything this dude is doing on the court. So, yeah, I agree when it comes to Kevin. I agree when it comes to Kyrie as well. The name I would throw in the hat, just because there's this weird constant criticism right now, number zero up in Boston, one Jason Tatum. So I agree with that line of thinking. It's like we're tearing these guys down so much and picking holes through them so much that, yeah, we're now crossing. I call it the underrated overrated threshold. I watched like young guys hit it all the time. I'm watching old guys hit it the other way around this time. 36-year-old players don't look like this. And look at somebody like Paul George on the other side of this. Or, you know, everybody's like, man, Paul fell off. This is usually what you kind of look like at 35. You probably shouldn't be signing a $200 million contract. So I agree. But, yeah, you had a further point beyond that you were going to tap into.
Does stuff like this, does stuff like what's happening with Phoenix affect the way people talk about KD?
Yeah. Oh, I watched two separate conversations this week. One was, does Naz Reid have a bigger bag? I've never seen a guy this hype move like this. And then it turned into, oh, well, what about KD, bud? And then everybody going, I don't know. He's got a deeper bag than Kevin. And I don't know if y'all watched Lakers Wolves last night. The bag might be deep. And I love Naz Reid, but Big Jelly ain't exactly KD. And the other one was, is Chris Paul more valuable to winning than Kevin Durant? And that question right there, I'm not a big Chris Paul fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm obviously a big Kevin Durant fan, but I'm just like, are y'all serious? Like, a two-time finals MVP, averaged 36 a game in the finals against the GOAT, more effective towards winning? Sometimes I just don't understand the conversation, so I land exactly where you land. Okay, now one of the greatest players of all time is underappreciated and underrated. How did we get here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, to be honest with you, man, I think that's I feel like that's the nature of sports, but more specifically how people talk about the NBA. And I don't know if it's a contract thing. They're making so much money and all this other stuff. Like, I talk about it to a certain degree. Like, I'm not trying to put him on the same level as Kevin Durant or even Chris Paul or any of these guys we talked about. But I talk about it with Zach LaVine. Like, if you hear somebody talk about Zach LaVine, you would think he is garbage. He's not a garbage basketball player. Like, he's making $42 million a year. All right, that's cool. Like, he didn't sign himself to that deal. Like, that's what somebody felt he was worth. He signed it, and he's a cool basketball player. But I think, you know, when we talk about these players, and Zach's just an example, it happens with pretty much everybody. We talk so much about what they haven't done or who they're not or what they can't do, as opposed to appreciating more what they can do. And I'm not speaking holier than now. I do that and make arguments myself
right
in that way. But I think sometimes it happens a little too much, as opposed to just taking a step back and being like, damn, this guy's great. Like, he's really, really talented.
Well, I talked to JT today. We're actually having this conversation and just kind of talking about the general conversation around him. And we're laughing about it. It's not all that deep. You know what I mean? But the point I made to him was, I'm watching these rants from everybody on every show talking about what he lacks and what he, and I'm like, it's never basketball. It's never productivity. It's never winning. It's never none of that. Like, the one you say is he doesn't win an MVP, but that's a voted upon award. And he's been all NBA for three straight seasons. He'll be that again this year for the fourth straight season. It's well understood he's one of the best players in the world. So now we're tearing him down for, oh, his teammates are too good, or he doesn't walk with like the same swagger as Anthony Edwards. I don't like his outfit like I like Shea's. Maybe if he cussed some more. Like, we're having all these weird conversations, and I'm like, are we talking about basketball, or are we talking about models? Like, should you TikTok more, or should you win more? And we're just laughing about it. Like, we're just, again, it's not all that deep, but we are given so much latitude to criticize dudes, but we're running out of things to criticize. This is some of the best in the world at what they do. And so now it turns into, well, I don't like his outfits. I like his outfits more. I watched a 5-minute conversation this morning about Anthony Edwards getting technical fouls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I remember Kobe because that was one of the examples. I remember Michael Jordan. All these dudes yell at the refs. I watched Luka do it every night. So I'm like, I don't get it. And again, this is a conversation I don't understand, but it goes back to kind of like an overarching theme of mine where it's, we just have too much content. Now, I know I say this on a radio show, but we just have too much content and hours to fill, and we're running out of things to talk about. Like, I don't think we're supposed to be talking, splitting all these hairs on all these lines. And it gets to the point where, yeah, we are not appreciating these dudes. LeBron was saying it yesterday, and I think the disconnect is, it's not that these dudes don't want to be criticized. It's not all that deep to them. But, like, make it make sense. Make it about the job. Make it about, like, we're spending way too much time being market execs, TV execs, and style execs. Like, who's winning? Who's doing good on the court? And that usually is pretty cut and dry.
Well, we got another overrated, underrated name we ain't even discussed. Yours.
Who'd I say?
Giannis.
Giannis.
We act like Giannis.
Yeah, they ain't talked about Giannis winning MVP for like 4 years now, and he's
Giannis is an afterthought.
He put up 32-13-7, and still,
I looked at his stats yesterday and was like, "Whoo!" Can I
even mentioned?
Semi related. I don't know if y'all seen Kevin on Draymond's show. Did you guys watch this?
I'm not watching Draymond Green's show, but
I'll walk you along the line.
Okay. I did see some of the more important stuff.
I need that etcetera back, to be honest with you. That's what I'm looking for.
Our guy, Baron Davis, asked, who would you think would win a one-on-one tournament if you play? Kevin said he'd play. He listed a couple guys. He shouted out Tatum. He shouted out Kyrie. He shouted out Ant. And they go, well, what about Giannis? And Kevin goes, let's see the jumper. And then Baron goes, yeah, you know, he gonna get real close to the basket, as close as he can get. And I was just like, I know what them dudes are saying.
Yeah.
I know what them dudes are saying.
I understand,
I think there is a little bit of lack of appreciation for what he does. And they're turning their season around slowly but sure. Like, if people haven't noticed, they might mess around and catch the Knicks. If all of that madness they had to start the year, and some turnover they've had as well, getting rid of one of his longtime teammates, Chris Middleton, all of the Doc Rivers noise, if they still end up with a top three seed, I'm telling you, a lot of these teams do not want to play the Milwaukee Bucks or Giannis in the playoffs. So I'm with you. He's gotten to that point for sure.
Yeah, and even like, here we go, like more content, more, like, I don't know if it's more time to think about it. We've gotten smarter or whatever. And I understand what those guys are saying about Giannis. And this is a one-on-one tournament, not the NBA. But I almost don't get 32 points or 32 points. Like, how it looks is whatever. Like, if you average in 32 a night and you have the ability to do that, or if you are Giannis and you can take one dribble from the three-point line and stretch Armstrong your way for a finger roll, yeah, that's what you can do. Like, I don't really care. I don't need the Kyrie all the time. Like, if you're just giving me the end results, then that's all that matters.
Yeah, and everybody's pretty much decided the top two in the MVP race are Jokic and Shea. And it seems like Shea is going to win this award. And it's not that he's not deserving, but Giannis' season has been just as good as Shea's, and he's on a worse team. He's on a worse team, and they started worse, and he's got more to deal with in that situation. And he's right there again. Look, when I talk to people and I go, "Who's your top five?" Because I want to see where you got Jason Tatum ranked. It's three dudes that's always there: Jokic, Shea, and Giannis. So everybody knows who's who. Maybe we just bored with it. We've seen it too much. It's not as exciting. But when he gets to the playoffs, he's shown he can make it. He can make it happen in the playoffs.
And for point of reference, if they did the one-on-one tournament, I think they need guards and forward categories
separated.
Yeah.
Well, if you listen to Kai and Kevin talk, they get it versus either one. They don't care.
I was going to say, mean, I'd, Kevin, pick Kyrie, yeah. I'd pick Kyrie to win.
Kyrie not beating Giannis.
They didn't, say a name. And I was laughing at him because they didn't say it, but I'd want to see Steph in that. What are you doing with that? And every one I hit is worth two? Oh. I mean, big boy to be out of here quick.
Right.
Don't let me get the ball first.
Did you watch Steph last night?
I did. I was getting yelled at because I didn't tweet about it as much. But I've always said he's my pick. If anybody scores 81 in a game, it'll be Steph. Like, I got a text that was like, he got 9 threes. I didn't even tune in just yet. I'm like, well, let's see if he gets like 12. Because it's so normalized in my head. So if I had text y'all, yo, Steph might hit 20 threes tonight. Like, y'all would like, you wouldn't just not believe it. You'd be like, really? Let me get my phone. Like, what? So he's always been my pick. So it doesn't shock me when he goes off like this. We talk on here about Jimmy Butler a ton. And what he would have done for the Suns. And he's doing all of that and more for the Warriors. He's such a smart player. He fit right into what they do, and he immediately opened up that team. And they still haven't gotten Jonathan Kuminga back. That is a scary, scary team right there. They're working their way out the plan. And if they get as high as 5-4, like, look out. Because if Steph can do this once, twice a series, and then they just – like, you can't beat when he does this. There's nothing you can do.
I still think they're a little too small. And Jimmy, who brings so much to the table, like you mentioned. But shout out to our guy, Kyle Mattson. I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was this bad. He's 1 of 15 from beyond the arc since he's joined the Warriors.
Oh, yeah. That,
in the playoffs. That's,
Unk is not a shooter. Don't get it twisted. But he does everything else.
He does. He does 100%.
Get to that line.
I think they can win a series in the playoffs because of the lack of size in the paint. I think that'll kind of put their ceiling in there for me.
It's matchup dependent too, right? Yeah. If they see Memphis, obviously that's a bigger team and they can play bigger. That's different. Even though they've had bumped up with them a bit this year. But if they see Houston, you're not necessarily as concerned, right? So it's a thing of matchups. Obviously, Jokic is Jokic, but nobody's guarding him, so it doesn't matter.
But that's still a crazy turnaround from, hell, they were the 11th seed 2 months ago, and now all of a sudden you're talking about, yeah, they could win a round or two in the playoffs. Like, that's a hell of a turnaround, man. That's a big-time turnaround.
Yeah, I hate to say it on this channel with you guys, but they're not so bad over there, man. I'm a little scared.
Yeah, I'm with you, but there's another team in the conference I'm scared about, too, and it's that other rival down south. I think them dudes are good, man.
You know what's a really underrated part of what they do? And it's easy to say now after last night's game, and they played a funny team as well. No Rudy Gobert, but the fact that LeBron and Luka are willing to rebound as much as they do, even just on defensive end, because and this is for somebody who watches the Phoenix Suns give up offensive rebounds all game. That's the little stuff that matters in the playoffs. So now we can play small, even though they're both 6'8", 6'7", and speed it up. And also, if you watch them, they're both huge on cherry picking, for one, but also throwing a Hail Mary pass and a good outlet. So they're still in 6, 8, 10 points a game doing that. There's just little nuances of the game, but man, those dudes have made passes to each other that just like only these legendary passers can do, over the top, right into the pocket. Like, it's kind of crazy watching them. I worry about their defense. I'll keep worrying about their defense. But they are tough. I talked to a few guys around the league, and I was just like, what do you think? What do you think of this trio? Because they all like the ball. They all play pretty similar. We were really talking about Austin Reeves because there's a little bit of, like, hot potato, and then they give him some run. Mm-hmm. And it was like, they're all too good at passing. It's perfect. They'll be fine. Like, they'll swing the ball, and they're willing to do that. And I'm like, all right. So there's a human element. You know, guys get a little bored. Guys want to have the ball. But it's the honeymoon phase right now. It looks beautiful.
Hey, Eddie, probably get you out on this one, but I just want to hear your quick opinion. We've had a discussion the last day or so about guys who we as observers and maybe people around them looked at and were like, man, they don't really know how good they are or they could be. And Dame would always say that about De'Aaron Fox. Like, De'Aaron Fox is good, but I'm not sure he, like, even realizes what he could be. As of late, I kind of, like, the more I see him, the more I feel that way about, like, Zach LaVine. It's like, Zach LaVine, like, do you know how you could be? Like, you see Paul George, like, you know you could be better than him, right, career-wise, but it's too late in the game. Like, he is who he is. Is there anybody that you've come across in the league, just watching him or just, like, seeing him on a daily basis, that you were like, I don't know if this guy really understands what he could be or what he could have been in this league?
Man, that's a great question. I like Zach as that too, and he's had such a whirlwind of a career. And you go back and look at them old pictures. It's him, Wiggins, and Cat, and you're like, is this like an alternate universe? They really was all on this, and how did that not work? Like, what is this? So he's been, you know, in such a whirlwind of a career, and a lot of times it's opportunity and stuff like that. I throw a little bit of a curveball just because we was just talking about his former team, but I'm going to say Max Christie. And that's a dude I've seen the work ethic. I understand his kind of focus on the game. And, like, he's one of them dudes, like, I don't even want a social life. I just want to hoop and go home and think about hoops some more and all that. And so to see him get his opportunity to shoot and do a little bit more in Dallas and really look like a player, really look like a player to the point where I'm having these conversations and we talking about KD's possible trade destinations in the summer. I'm like,
I don't like that, though.
Oh, Max got to stay there, though. He can't be part of the trade. Look, just the ability to shoot that he's developing even more, his willingness to defend, and he's got a little bit more off the bounce game than people know. He's one of them guys that's like, a lot of time it's situation opportunity, and he has that now, and we're seeing him being a valuable player. Now, is he an all-star in the future? That's not what I'm saying, but a great 10, 12, 15-year career, make some good money, hit some big buckets. Yeah, I think he's got that in him, and hopefully we'll get the chance to see it.
He need to come back play for his dad.
Hey.
We need to get him over here in Sacramento and play ball for his dad.
Hey, it's according to Clay. Yo, Clay, dog. Hey. Like, it's legal in Texas.
Hey.
It's just –
Look, real quick.
Hey, what's up, Clay?
Real quick, Eddie. This is maybe the third opportunity you're about to have this summer. You don't get that man here to Sacramento. It's about the third chance. Get him here to Sacramento.
Hey, before we pay some bills, shout out my man Charlie. Watch him out.
Charlie loves some Eddie, boy.
Hey, shout out my man.
Hey,
look, come on, Kenny. You know where I'm headed. You know where I'm trying to get, Brad.
Hey, man, come back.
Home. I'm sorry.
Both of y'all need to get on to Sacramento, man. Stop playing.
Who they making movies about us now?
Come on, man. Stop playing.
Who's winning Elimination Chamber?
Punk, because he's my favorite.
Okay.
I would like Logan to win, though. That'd be cool.
Logan and Punk are going to fight at WrestleMania.
I don't think so.
Punk got to get that, man.
I think that's it might be Punk, like, and Roman at WrestleMania.
Is The Rock going to get involved?
Please don't. The Rock got his own. Hey, The Rock's UFL is about to strike. How's your punk-ass football league about to strike? Why don't you go focus on that instead of messing up our WWE programming?
Yo, The Rock growing up to become the new Vince McMahon character.
I'm so tired of The Rock.
That's exactly who he's going to be.
Get Rock and Dwayne off of my television.
That's who he's going to be.
Eddie, we appreciate you, bro, man. Thank you as always.
Always.
Thank
That's
you,
our man, Eddie Gonzalez, right there, the ultimate NBA insider. We'll be back. Stilo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Oh, and KC on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320. This is D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
All right, we're bringing here the final hour-ish of this week. No Kings basketball tonight. Got to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
When the Sacramento Kings take on the Houston Rockets. Game 2 of a 4-game road trip. Of course, that runs through Dallas and Denver as well. before returning to the Golden 1 Center to take on the San Antonio Spurs. Didn't really look at the schedule tonight. What we got cooking this evening?
We got.
You mentioned Cleveland and Boston. That's a good one.
Yeah. Lakers Clippers is one.
Well, it might sound. Keep an eye on Blazers Nets.
You want the Blazers to lose as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, Blazers, they could. Yeah. They could pass Phoenix tonight, I think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not, because you got Pelicans, Suns. I don't even know what to think of that. You got Pelicans and Suns tonight. No Zion, because it's the second night of a back-to-back. Yeah. Timberwolves, Jazz, and then, as you mentioned right there, Clippers, Lakers on ESPN tonight.
Yeah. Oh, some good stuff. Did I tell you about that story that I had heard from my girl Elizabeth?
No.
Over at she was working with our people.
Okay.
She was working with our people over at Johnny Jennings and them.
Oh, okay. No, what did Elizabeth tell you, Kenny?
I mean, Elizabeth, she had decided it was time to sell her Sacramento home and move to Roseville. So she called Johnny Jennings with the Made for More Realty, and Johnny was able to get her full price offer and help her get a great deal on her Roseville Sunny City home. So she had reached out to tell me about that, and I was just like, I gotta let the people know.
The real estate bar has been raised. You can avoid the hassle of selling and get at least 3 guaranteed cash offers in 72 hours. They sell your home 27% faster than other homes on the market. They're voted the number one team in Roseville the past 3 years. And they have a variety of different things. Ask them about their Fix It Before You List It program. Mm-hmm. No upfront cost to you. Ask about buying your next home before you even sell your current home. Ask about Guaranteed Home Sale Program. They've got all of that stuff. Expect more, get more with our man Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty, California DRE, number 01982171. Just Google Made for More Realty today and get more for your home. Did you hear the story? Did I tell you about the story about your boy Dwayne and how his sorry-ass football league is apparently on the verge of a strike? He's been paying a little too much attention to Cody Rhodes' soul, and somehow, after like a single year of operation, the United Football League is on the verge of a strike? Note to everybody, don't do this. People barely care as it is. You have the nerve to go on strike or allow your players to go on strike. Y'all are screwed.
They weren't going to work. They were never going to work.
Come on, Dwayne. What you doing? I think this is Danny's endeavor. Yeah, Dwayne gets the credit because his name is bigger. But this is Danny. It was Danny's idea to buy the XFL. And I don't know. I assume they worked together to do the merger with. I don't even remember who they merged with. It wasn't the AAFL.
Wasn't it the USFL?
Oh, is that what it was? I think it was.
And the one
there's 19 football leagues now. I couldn't.
The one thing they did that was smart that might keep them above water was they had some type of connection with the NFL.
Yeah, right.
And
they try things out. Try this, and we want to see it in execution. See how it works.
But other than that, nobody checking for these leagues, man. Nobody. And look, that doesn't mean they don't need to have them. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, have the leagues, but I ain't watching them leagues.
Where else Trey Lance gonna play if they?
What did Trey Lance do?
I apologize. That was uncalled for. I don't know that it was wrong, but it was uncalled for. Oh, my apologies, man, to Trey Lance and his family.
But yeah, Fox watched the Birmingham Stampede go up against the Albuquerque Riders.
You know, those could be real names, and I wouldn't know.
Like, all right, man, I ain't watching. No, don't watch the NBA. Don't watch March Madness. All right, bro.
There's the Birmingham Stallions, the Michigan Panthers, the Memphis Showboats, the Houston Roughnecks. I don't know if that has to do with MC Light or not. The St. Louis Battlehawks. The San Antonio Brahmas?
Yeah, that's Dwayne's favorite team.
The DC Defenders. And the Arlington Renegades.
You know, this league is so... I'm so uninterested in this league. I don't know if I pay attention if Sacramento had a team. You know, I'll be watching everything Sacramento. But, man, ain't watching it.
Excellent. We really about to cover baseball this year, huh?
We are. A's might
the A's manager with Mark the Insiders today.
Yeah. A's might be actually kind of entertaining. I'm actually just like A's have something to do with it as well, but I'm actually kind of like looking forward to baseball season. I'm looking for, I don't know why specifically. I mean, well, maybe because Farhan's sorry ass is away from the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to baseball a little bit. I want to see some baseball. And then obviously, you know, this opportunity to have it right in your backyard, that kind of invigorates you.
I'm looking forward to seeing baseball. Mm-hmm. I'm very much looking forward to being at games.
Dude, MLB in Sacramento, I mean, we couldn't have a better thing happen to us as far as the chance to get a team here. What we have right now is not a common thing that you get the chance to have a team in your city, especially an MLB team. And the A's are exciting this year, man. I mean, we got a ton of good players. Lawrence Butler's been doing really good in spring training. Brent Rooker's going to hit probably 50 home runs this year in that small ballpark. Mm. And then I think the Giants are going to be exciting too this year, but we're definitely going to be covering baseball because I could talk baseball.
There you go.
I right, can talk
go.
Baseball.
Yeah. Well, Joe and our A's correspondent there.
Yeah. No, it's going to be dope, man. And I was little stuff like me and Jesse talked about the other days, you know, Sacramento's going to be an MLB the show. You know what I'm saying? Because of being with the A's. And you talked about some of those players there, Joe and Lawrence Butler. That's my guy. That's a guy that I gravitated to. And, you know, being able to go out there and see the A's, see the teams that come through the city on you know, for 6 months or so, that's going to be fire.
Yeah.
That's going to be fire.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to spending some time out at that park.
Temperature check. I do this every time we bring up the A's. Temperature check. Anything change about you believing they would stay?
Wait, what's like, the question?
Do you think they stay?
Oh, I was like, it's 73 degrees. Like I was like, what is happening?
Not the temperature.
Oh,
temperature on your thoughts of whether or not they're gonna stay.
I don't think they're staying two. I think they're
like permanently.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't think that. But I also don't think they're staying 2 years. I think they're probably here 4 to 5 years. I don't know where we're at with Las Vegas. I don't even remember the last thing I heard about Las Vegas. I don't remember the last positive thing I heard about Las Vegas either.
That's a good point.
But I don't know. It doesn't seem like this thing is going to move very fast.
Yeah, I think they're definitely. I'm like 100% certain it'll be 5 years.
Okay.
I am.
Vibes?
Vibe.
Like oh, you yeah, said 100% yeah, certain.
Just,
okay.
Just tea leaves. Okay.
Tea leaves and vibes.
Yeah,
that's a new podcast coming to the Odyssey Network. Tea leaves and vibes. Because D'Lo and Casey need something else to do. So tea leaves and vibes.
Danny gets back in our lives.
Yeah. Well,
gives us a podcast to do. But yeah, I think for sure they'll be here 5 years. That's the number that I'm putting on it.
Okay.
60-40, they stay.
60-40, huh?
60-40, they stay.
What happens? So let's workshop this because we have an hour. They stay. Then what? Like, they don't stay at that ballpark, right?
No. I think a ballpark is built,
which will take years.
Mm-hmm.
So are we looking in this scenario? They're staying. We're working with completely fake timelines. The decision is, look, 5 years, they're not. It's clear. They're not moving. Sacramento's going to be the host of this team. You think another 5 years to put together the renderings for the stadium? I mean, maybe they have that thought ready.
I was just thinking about that.
And instead of it taking 5 years to build a stadium, it takes two, mm-hmm. three. So we're looking at 7 to 8 years at Sutter Health Park. Is it Sutter Health Park? Yeah, Sutter Health Park.
If I'm Uncle V, I got all that. You just give me the word.
He has it now.
Ready?
Yeah,
Yeah. You just give me the word. Because the timeline you laid out is that makes a difference. Like if you say, hey, what do you think about you guys staying? Like we're willing to do that, and you've got to go get everything in line after that, well, you might have missed your opportunity.
Yeah.
If I'm him, when this started happening, I was planning, all right, we're going to build the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Where can we put it? How much might it cost? And if you got all those ducks in a row, like, just give me the word and we'll get moving on.